Hello, I am Riley Wilson, and welcome to the Band of One podcast. This podcast is created to help anyone that wants to be a more successful solo performer or become a solo performer and avoid a lot of the mistakes myself and some of my contemporaries have made. I have over 50 years of live performance experience and will also include tips from other top pros worldwide who have done the same thing in their regions. My desire is to make this actionable as well as entertaining. Let's get busy. First, if you like what we do, subscribe and don't forget to share this podcast. Second, if you're getting value from the content, consider becoming a paid sponsor of the podcast. You could do so for only $3 a month, and I've only scratched the surface of who I plan to talk with. If you do, I will do my best to continue to provide you with cutting-edge advice to help you start and maintain a profitable solo gig career. Reinvention has a very ambitious sound to it. If you followed this podcast from the first episode, the one thread I hear from every performer, including myself, is how they reinvented themselves. Almost all the solo performers we've talked with begin with a band, a choir, or orchestra, and they later went on to a solo career. There are several reasons for this. In most civilized societies, people seem to learn in groups from other people. It's not the only way, and may not even be the best way, but many people feel comfortable learning and making mistakes within a group environment. For example, singing with a choir is a fine way to learn a part and then performing it, knowing if you make mistakes, other people are also singing and may not make it sound too awful. For this and a host of other reasons, I've recommended musicians over the years who want to sing join a choir. Church choirs are excellent training ground. Even if you only sing backing vocals, this will help in any situation with another singer. The members of Journey began vocal lessons a couple albums into their careers, and other singers like Al Jarreau and Steve Lukather continue with professional coaching like all established voiceover actors do. Chet Atkins studied classical guitar while head of A&R at RCA Victor in Nashville. Working with a private teacher can help in many ways, especially if you're a working musician or trying to become one. However, this is merely one form of reinvention. Anything you do to improve your skills or develop new skills falls under this heading. How about recording your practice session at home? Using an audio or video recorder lets you view your performing skills as the audience sees it. Do you sing without making eye contact? Are you looking down all the time and never looking at the audience? Do you only look in one direction while performing? I understand, if you're playing a technically challenging piece, you might have to focus on your instrument. However, try and avoid this becoming a habit. Let's talk about tablets and lyrics. Many solo musicians use a tablet or phone to read song lyrics from. All the large rock shows include teleprompters for singers to use in case they forget the words to their hits. However, local, solo, or duo shows often feature singers with their heads in their electronic devices the entire show. Just like a person who is always looking down at their devices, this isn't a great way to engage an audience. Glance down occasionally and then look up to the crowd, even if it's a crowd of one or two people. As you get better, you'll perform for larger groups of people. I've always tried to memorize song lyrics before I perform it live. Even today, with a repertoire of over 250 songs, I don't use a tablet for lyrics. I am fortunate that I have a good memory for lyrics, and while I will occasionally forget a word or phrase, it doesn't derail the song itself. In 1981, I was on the road with a quintet from North Carolina, and we added Celebrate by Kool and the Gang. We played full-time, 6 nights a week, and so we constantly added new top 40 hits to the show. I sang lead on this tune and had the bright idea to write the lyrics out on a large poster board. We were playing a hotel gig in Raleigh, and I decided to put the poster board with lyrics on the stage next to my guitar pedals. The stage was elevated, so the audience couldn't see I had the lyrics on the floor. Great idea, except for one thing. I wrote the words in red, thinking I could see them easily during the show. When the stage lights hit the poster board, the words became invisible. I had to fa-fa-fa my way through the song, which frustrated the audience. The other band members howled with laughter, and that was my first and only attempt at a poster board for song lyrics. Those of you that play piano or guitar and sing may have an even larger repertoire and simply have to use the lyrics, sheet music, tab charts with words, etc., for songs you only occasionally perform. I get it. So practice doing these lesser performed tunes and looking only when you get stuck. The audience will appreciate the eye contact and become more involved in your show. This is also something you can record yourself doing at home and focus on making it more natural. It'll also result in better tips. Moving from a band to a trio, solo, or duo is reinvention. So is changing the nature of your existing small group act. A year ago, I bought a ZT Lunchbox acoustic guitar amp secondhand and began using it on small retirement community gigs. It sounded really good with my Ovation acoustic electric, and along with the mic input, I could travel really light and still handle guitar and vocal gigs. On those shows, I added some new tunes and admit to using my iPad to handle some song lyrics I didn't know as well. I did a few shows with just guitar and voice this way, but eventually ended up returning to my shows with backing tracks. Why? I simply preferred a bigger sound behind me. I'd always hoped that James Taylor would do a tour just him and his guitar. However, he was asked about that many years ago and said he preferred doing shows with a bigger group around him. He wanted a more full sound than just his voice and guitar, and I completely understand. How can you reinvent yourself? Perhaps playing solo is enough. What about adding percussion to your existing solo act? I spoke with many solo guitarists and keyboard players who haven't considered this concept. A drum machine, porch board, or even hand percussion can add immeasurably to a musical act. Alesis, Korg, Roland, and Yamaha, among others, have been making great-sounding portable drum computers since the 1980s, and working one into your act doesn't have to be impossible. I work with Brian Stroud in the duo Think Twice for more than 15 years here in the DFW area, and he used the Alesis SR-16 drum machine to drive our group. It sounded great, and you can hear the results on YouTube by typing in Think Twice Arlington Live 2010. One thing a drum machine can offer is the ability to start and stop it with a foot switch. If your hands are occupied with a guitar or keyboards, for example, a simple on-off switch can add a level of percussion and even sophistication any act can benefit from. Brian used two such foot switches, one to start or stop the percussion, and the second to change from patch A to patch B. This allowed us to have a basic pop or rock or country rhythm with a side stick snare drum on the verse, while switching to a heavier backbeat with a full center strike snare on the chorus, often with the addition of a crash or ride cymbal, tambourine, etc. Personally, I think acts with a drum machine can be much more creative than they might otherwise be by varying the number and amount of percussion from song to song. A drum computer, which is what we're really talking about here, is a legitimate musical instrument that can be mastered with some serious effort and practice. Looping is another wonderful option that, while it takes practice, can also be quite effective and entertaining. Consider your audience and the type of shows you regularly perform or anticipate performing. If you're a great singer, your guitar or keyboard and voice may well be enough. If it's not record label quality yet, adding another sound to the performance could really help generate more gigs and more money. Some musicians will use a looper with their voice to create percussion sounds that are quite effective in a live performance environment. Beatboxing, as it is sometimes called, takes advantage of a powerful mic and sound system, coupled with a looper that can be both novel and effective. Whether using a looper with an instrument or voice, this takes practice and effort to make it sound and appear seamless and professional. How about multiple instruments? A guitarist, for example, could bring an acoustic and an electric or a 6 and a 12-string guitar to his shows. If you're accomplished with banjo, mandolin, or any number of other stringed instruments, this creates both a visual and auditory appeal for listeners. If you use another instrument, you can apply this concept to whatever your solo act is built upon. Keyboard players with a workstation or sampler that can get multiple sounds from their gear run a smaller risk of boring the audience with the same sound every time. I haven't talked much about keyboard workstations in this podcast, but these instruments allow you to store and create layers of sounds, including keys, bass, percussion, strings, horns, and more. If you're strictly a pianist or organist, head down to your local music store or look online at a whole new world that's just waiting for you. Pedals have been popular since 1965 when Keith Richards' fuzz tone lead catapulted Satisfaction to the top of the charts. I'm not sure the Stones' career would have had the success that it had without this song. The impact it had was tremendous. I'll only add that if you only had an AM radio with a single mono speaker for playback like it was in 1965, you can't fathom how powerful this tone was. Nowadays, you can get individual as well as multi-effects devices to create thousands of different sounds. Their costs are usually reasonable, and with some practice, this can also be a powerful boost to your act. One word of caution about effects, if you will, and that is be sure not to overuse things. I remember watching a very prominent band in the mid-Atlantic states in 1975 with a guitar player who had just purchased one of those big Maestro 3-button phase shifters. He put the phase shifter on and left the guitar with that same sound the entire set. Well, it's a cool sound. I was tired of it after 3 songs and hoped that he would have the good sense and taste to not play that the entire night. It's just like putting a slap echo on all of your vocals, where everything after a while sounds like a Sun record. So being tasteful with effects is really, really important. Another thing you can try, for example, if you're a guitar player that only plays with a flat pick, try fingerstyle. Or if you only play in standard tuning, try using alternate tunings. A drop D or double drop D tuning, along with something like an open E or an open G, can completely change the way the guitar sounds and therefore is a very subtle but yet effective effect that works really nicely in the course of a solo performance. Obviously, I can't detail all the different types of options that you can do, but if you think about reinvention long enough and apply it to your act with a little bit of soul searching, I'm sure you can come up with some cool ideas yourself. Many solo musicians like the idea of adding another musician to the mix. While this can be effective, we could do an entire series of podcasts about duos and trios. Most of you listening or watching this podcast may well prefer doing it all yourself. For now, we'll keep our main focus on solo acts, although anybody performing duo or trio gigs is certainly going to benefit from this content. Another area gaining traction with solo musicians is adding DJing to their mix. I'm not a fan of DJs in general, and while this isn't something I plan on doing in the future, some fine performers I know do just that. I have an upcoming podcast with David Payton from Georgia, and he's combined his top-rated one-man band show with DJing the last hour or two of his gigs. This way, he can satisfy people that only want to hear dance music as well as audiences that enjoy his guitar, vocals, and tracks. DJs tend to earn more than most solo musicians because they aren't limited to any single style of music. They do tend to carry a lot more gear, lights, etc., and charge accordingly. If you're young enough, healthy enough, and ambitious enough, you can beat mobile DJs at their own game and make a lot of money, too. For those of you just beginning a solo performing career, doing so might be reinvention enough. Make it a point to remain flexible. Don't be afraid to try new material, new approaches, new equipment, as well as a new way of doing things. This will keep you from becoming stale and predictable. That's all for today. I'm Riley Wilson, and thanks again for being part of this episode. Would you like to be profiled in an upcoming episode, or do you know someone our community would enjoy hearing from? If so, email me here, riley@guitarmadesimpler.com, or contact me through the Facebook page, facebook.com/Band of One Podcast. See you next time.